Wait, you haven't been recording even when you said you were.
I mean, we had like at least good 10 minutes of us.
Yeah. There was like there was so a lot of distraction.
Just keep our thoughts on it.
Or yeah,
we'll just like, hey, that. It was a good movie, or like
we'll just do the recap.
Yeah, I think we can still do it.
Yeah, of course.
But it is recording now.
All right. Okay. Sounds good.
All right, guys. I fucked up. This is the intro beginning of the episode. And we're going to catch up on a lot of shit. Right.
So that was Brian owning up to his mistake. My name is Milo. I didn't make a mistake.
Let's take it from the top. Okay.
No. Right. Beto, we're already far deep into this.
Okay.
I need you to lock in. Hey, what are you doing? You're trying give it some sloppy.
Welcome to Buzz Candid and Critical. This is Milo.
I'm Chris.
It's your boy Brian.
And this is Beto.
And we just fucked up not recording right now.
Yeah, but that was me. That was actually me. I own up to it.
So we had a long conversation.
We had a good lore.
A long conversation about alcohol and stuff and all that stuff. We are drinking Arizona.
We're drinking hard Arizona teas.
Yes, sponsor us.
Hard Arizona.
And then what movie are we talking about today, Milo?
So keeping with the theme of Valentine's, I wanted to talk about Blue Valentine that came out in 2010 and it was directed by Derek Cianfrance.
And what
was
this? Isn't your happy ending movie. This is your downward spiral.
Do you have the major cast for the movie?
No, we're not going to talk about the cast.
Ryan Gosling, and that's all you need to know.
Oh, my God.
This is what led up to Drive.
Actually, it stars me. As Ryan Gosling.
He's literally me, bro.
Yeah, and I do want to ask, Milo, why did you choose this movie?
Valentine's Day. Come on, bro.
No. Not even that. I was thinking about movies that I hadn't seen in a while.
I was waiting for Milo to like light up a cigarette.
I feel like there are movies that, and this might change for everyone, there are just movies that you can only watch one time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about it and you're like, I just can't watch that movie again.
Yeah.
And I think we were talking about it earlier.
In terms of it's bad, it's good, it hurts.
It hurts. Not because like I had an emotional connection to it. I watched it when I was in high school. And, you know, you kind of see scenes, like main scenes from it. And like I think last time we recorded, I told Chris, like, this is almost as sad as Manchester by the Sea. But yeah, it's like, it's similar in the, not completely, but... You see the scene from Manchester by the Sea where you see Casey Affleck's character, you know, he's in the police station and he's going to shoot himself. And I see the scene from this movie where...
That scene was tough, by the way.
Where this scene at the end of the movie where Cindy's like, there's nothing here for you, you know, like, I don't love you. And Dean's like, no, take it back, because once you say it, you can't take it back.
That was like a knife to the fucking heart.
And it's like, you see, I keep seeing that scene on reels and I'm like, dude, that's just like so sad. And it's like such an interesting and kind of like brutally real story. Because obviously, like, let's compare it to Manchester because it's on our mind right now. You know, that's something that is extremely sad and real that can happen. But when you think about this, it's like people fall out of love all the time. Like Brian was mentioning earlier, it's like you see people like they were together for years, like that they're a happy couple, and Brian's like, oh, and they're not together anymore.
Yeah.
Or when Brian didn't record, he was talking about how his mom and dad had been together 40 years and they just recently got married 2 years ago. And then how, like, you know, like it's like, you know, like there's, like you said, there's people who like they think they find the one and it's not. And how I said, I had a friend who got married to a woman literally 3 months after and then got a divorce less than a year.
And it's tough because it's like you get starstruck in those beginning of the like relationship and it's like
it's a honeymoon phase.
Yeah. Like you're like fucking, oh my God, like this is the person that I've been wanting to get with. And, you know, and then after, you know, the fucking love just fades away and that shit's. Honestly, that shit's fucking scary because it's like me from what I grew up, and I'm sorry that people don't have good parents or they just
bad parents. Losers.
Brian's saying like, no. Oh, you can't fall in love. It's because of your parents.
No. It's not because of that.
Get
it's
a
just,
better spawn point, idiot.
No, you can take that. No, and it sucks because it's like majority of the friends that I have, and it's a good percentage, don't have a dad or their mom passed away, or it sucks because
some circumstance.
For me, it sucks because it's like I mean, not to get really into it, but we'll be in some like really deep points when we're like really drinking and like at the end of a conversation, it's just like, you can't really fit in words to tell them like, hey, you know, there's, you know, that's always brighter on the other side.
You know what they say? Grass is green on the other side.
Bro, and that grass is dry.
When they tell me that, it's like, and I tell them, you must be blind or you must be colorblind.
Bro, oh, there's not even grass. It's just dirt.
Write that down.
I took that from an artist, by the way.
No. Chris is wearing his turtleneck right now. He's
fucking intellect today.
Leaking ideas right now.
Well, I do see why you guys compare this to Manchester City, because they're both very sad movies. But I think where the Blue Valentine shines a little more, and is where I would have to agree with you guys, is that not only is this movie a little more relatable, it's also heart-wrenching, you know?
I mean, I'm going to have to interrupt you. I'm going to give props to how they transition going back and forth on this fucking movie.
So whenever they went back in time, because they had a time machine.
For real?
No, but like you could tell they were using like a different, like a filter over
it's a different color gradient. Yeah, it's more brighter.
Like, and it was bothering me because I was like, what the fuck is this recording back in 2000?
It wasn't the color grading. It was the way the camera was used.
No, yeah. And then it was very different than it went. Because like, I mean, like the director said, like, look at like a lot of movies that come out nowadays are always kind of like, not nowadays. I mean, this is 2010, but I'm pretty sure still a lot of movies come out like this. It's the guy, you know, he has his fault and then he overcomes that fault and he gets the girl or whatever it helps in the end. And then he was like, Hollywood always produces those movies, but this is a more grounded movie because in reality, a lot of us will find someone, think we'll love them. And then at the end of the day, we realize we don't love them anymore. This is more something that people could latch on and be like, damn, this movie's literally me. Because it is literally me.
Or not even that they don't. It's me. Or not even that they don't love each other anymore. It's just that
they fall out.
They realize that they don't even know the person they ended up with.
Yeah. So like this movie, like Manchester by the Sea, I don't think everyone's gonna ever experience like,
you know, God forbid,
you burning your child alive and then trying to kill yourself in a police station. But I mean, I'm pretty sure all of us has been here some one way or another where we loved someone.
Everybody has different battles.
And then yeah, and then it's just like, and then you realize like, damn, like this person who you used to love don't love you the way they used to, you know? And then, so I can really relate to that, but, you know?
And continue, Betha?
But, yeah, I don't know. I think to add to that, I do think it makes it a lot sadder the way they bounce from a very happy moment in the past. And then we see that comparison to the present. And I think this movie just does a lot of things well. And, yeah, it is a very relatable movie.
Do you like the fact that they started off in the present and then went back, or would you have preferred it the other way around?
So I'm gonna be real. When you told me, I saw the trailers first, and then when I was watching the trailers, it was showing him when he was young and in the ukulele scene and him sitting down by the bench at like New York where like the bridge is at. So I thought it was gonna be like a love story, him being young,
building
like,
up to a love story.
Yeah, but it was like it threw me off, and I think that's what kind of like fucked up my perspective of the movie, where I thought it was about a guy who's gonna get a girl, but things just fall through and didn't work out in his end, right? I mean, still kind of that idea, but it wasn't the way I imagined it was gonna end up.
Right.
Yeah. I think it's perfect the way that it started, because you need to understand, like, you know, not everybody like is gonna tell you. I mean, they're gonna tell you the good parts of how they started always in every relationship, but I don't tell you how the current situation is until you like either know the person for a long time or you're witnessing the situation.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it would have been better either way. I do think the decision by starting when everything was dysfunctional helps you kind of wonder like, okay, how did we get there? You know, and it slowly gives you that answer. But I think it was a good decision to start by showing us the present.
Well, to add on, sorry. I kind of liked it because, like, you know, we have Frankie looking for Megan, you know, their dog.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously, you know, we see Dean and we're like, oh, you know, look at this guy. You know, he's nice. He's like catering to you know, his daughter. And we're not knowing the situation, you know. We're not like, oh, you know, like, oh, this is his daughter. And then we realize later on to the end, like, oh, shit, that's not really that's not his daughter. But even then, we get to witness how Dean gaslights, or I guess guilt trips, Cindy for quote unquote not closing the gate when she, in fact, you know,
yeah,
I think they're at the recital, and Cindy was driving to the recital and she found the dog. She's like, "I found Megan."
So wait. So how do you feel about the movie? Like in terms of your experience, when we'll get to there when we get there, but how do you like your experience, just your thought, nothing too deep about the movie, Brian?
I think it's a great movie. I think overall, and just to sum it down, if you want to see a movie in retrospect of like how relationships are working, I guess, to now it's current generation, 100% watch the movie. Really great.
Yeah, I think it's a really good movie. And I do think as Valentine's is coming out for all our single viewers, you want to get nice and sad before.
What you mean?
if you're listening to this and you're single, just be glad you're not going through what Dean went through.
Just have a fucking
or Cindy.
Bottle of Jameson next to you.
I think this movie, you know, is perfect if you're feeling lonely.
Six shooter.
If you're feeling lonely this Valentine's Day, want to have a couple of drinks and cry yourself to sleep. And it's a good movie, you know. I think the themes of the dissolution of love and, you know, trying to fight for a relationship that isn't working are very relatable to a lot of people. It's a good watch. What about you, Chris?
This goes out for my divorce dads.
I honestly thought I was watching 2049 until I was like, bro, no place. No, it's a good movie. It's sad. Like I said earlier, I mean, I was saying earlier, you know.
Yeah, we get it. I fucked up. I didn't record it, you son of a bitch.
Some way I could relate to this movie, not full heartedly, because I never been married.
Yeah.
But there's some
probably
aspect.
Probably never will.
Fuck you, bitch.
Just kidding. I said we that. Never will.
Some sort of, to some certain degree, it's, you know, like I could relate to some of it, but for the most part, it's a good movie. Don't watch it, Valentine. It will just make it lots worse. Don't listen to him.
Yeah, don't watch it.
Watch something better.
I said watch it if you want to be sad.
Watch
Valentine's. No.
Nah, fuck.
You're just encouraging him. You're enabling those feelings, Beto.
So my experience, I watched this in high school. It used to be on Netflix. I remember when Netflix was in its glory days when I was in high school. And I didn't necessarily have an emotional connection to it. I just kind of watched it randomly, or it might have been recommended to me. And I remember, like, just years later, like, I would see scenes, and I was mentioning, there are scenes you see for movies, and it's like, depending what it is, it's like, oh, I can't watch it, that
good
movie again.
Good movie pick, though.
I've
never heard or even seen a trailer of this movie.
That's good, yeah.
No, I never heard of this movie.
That's good. I'm glad you guys have never heard of it, because you guys watched it. But I remember, like, I think I had seen the scene that, like I had mentioned, where they're in the hospital and Cindy's like, there's nothing here for you. And I remember just watching that scene. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Like, I don't think I could put myself through watching it again, but this is something that I really want to talk about. Because it's something that, you know, like I said, also, it's like, this is, it's like too real to not talk about.
Yeah.
Because, like, this happens on the daily, you know? It's like so crazy to even think about. Like,
it's like stabbing a person.
It's like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Chris, but it's like in Her, when Amy Adams was like, you know, people, love makes people crazy, you know, like they're on drugs or something. I don't know if you remember that scene.
Yeah.
No, we'll continue.
But yeah, so you see, like, love makes people do crazy things. And it's like, why would anyone ever want to be in love? But it's like, people want that connection, you know?
I just have to say, this is the most, like, I think in terms of, like, love without, like, having the futuristic, perfect utopia, but no one can find love type of thing, this is more, like, a grounded thing where, like, it's, like, more of an everyday thing that
it this can happen to your relationship.
Like, and ultimately, yeah, it's really grounded versus other movies that show love. Or
that's
like
why you need a down-ass perra that's always down for you. You need a hyena that's always with you by your side with a 9mm.
We'll continue, Milo.
A ride and die type of sheet.
So I just kind of want to get into, like, what were some things that you, in general, like, you guys liked, or what didn't you like about it?
Dean, I'll start with you, Chris. Dean didn't win.
I know Chris has some very opinionated things to say right now.
Hot takes.
Bro, bro's literally foaming from the mouth right now.
Now you put me on the spot.
Spotlight.
What I like and what I dislike, just
anything. Just say something.
I wanna say, like, we did talk about, like, earlier, like, we like how they were going back and forth.
Oh, the parallelism.
Yeah, like the from when like they're happy to when they were sad, and it was like showing, like, I like the, like, what was it, the cinematography, like how, like,
the camera movement.
Yeah, like, not even that, like, I like, you know, not an original idea, but it made sense when I watched the video. The guy was talking about how, like, I wish I could remember the YouTube creator, so that way I could, you know,
shout him out.
Yeah. Bro, we're literally the kings of never sourcing anyone. We never cite anyone.
Well, anyways, like,
give him extra 5 views.
He said, like, if you notice, like, well, okay, so this, it made me appreciate the movie a little bit more, because when after watching, I was kind of like, man, whatever. But then when he was explaining it to me, it was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, you know? So, like, when they were together and every camera view or angle they had in present time was enclosed, like, it felt very uncomfortable. Like, you know, like, it just didn't feel like you didn't want to be in that position or angle. Right. And then when it shows, like, when they're, like, first meeting and they're trying to talk, it was very spacious.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, okay, like, you know, and, like, that was such a good way to, like, present the movie to, like, when they're together. You kind of feel very uncomfortable when it's, like, they show them when they were trying to get together. It was spacious. And, like he said, like, the director did that for an idea of, like, when they're together, there's no room to grow. It's no longer there.
Mm-hmm. In the present time.
Yeah.
Right?
And then in the past, it was like, there's opportunity. There's so much for us. Like he said, there's the one scene when they're in a sex hotel and they rent out the future room. When, like, ultimately there won't be no future. Ironic.
Like that, yeah.
That's very ironic to be somewhere in the future just to get a divorce literally the next day after.
Tough. I did not see that.
Yeah, right? Ironic. So, damn. Like, it's like there was, like, and, like he said, like, imagine being in a room with no windows. And you know what people say? A window and opportunity. There was no opportunity. There was nothing going to grow from.
Oh, okay. Because there were no windows in the room. Yeah. I think they even mentioned it. They're like, there's no windows.
Yeah. So, like that. So it's like, I think, like, the movie did really well, like, subtle things that you kind of, like, either you're really good at noticing things or you...
Am,
like,
I recording this?
Or, oh, my God.
Or,
I swear to God, Brian.
Chris is spitting facts right now.
Or, like, if you're like us and you watch videos after you're done watching a movie, it makes a lot of sense, you know? And it also goes to show that, like, you know, like, and in terms of, like, how I felt, like, the whole thing is that, like, I can relate to Dean where I was a bit of an ass. And I can understand how like, I would take things a little over the top. And it's relatable. Like, you know, like, it makes me...
You take, like, it's like, Dean's very defensive.
Yes, yes.
Anytime anyone talks to him, really.
Yeah.
And then, so it's, like, relatable. And then, you know, like, the way the guy was explaining to me, like, damn, that was me. You know, damn, like, this movie is some sort of, like, level of, like, I can understand. Not fully understand, because I've never been married.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, and I've been in a position where, like, I did wanted to save it. And then I've been in a position where, like, I have, you know, not to get too personal, but I have the person tell me, you know, I love you, but I don't love you no more like that. Yeah. And it sucks.
I remember.
I remember.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
But, yeah, I mean, movie's cool. You know, fuck this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I do think the movie did a lot of things well. Like, one of them is being very relatable. I think skipping between the past and the present was a great idea to make the movie a lot more heart-wrenching. I think it did that really well with the color grading and Ryan Gosling's bald fuck.
Wait a second.
5 years could happen a lot. If we were sponsored by Hims, take your supplements.
By Hims? by Rogaine?
Yeah.
Never heard of Rogaine.
If I had to, like, pick at the movie a little bit, I think there was a couple unnecessary nude scenes.
Necessary or unnecessary?
Unnecessary. I understand it made the movie a little more uncomfortable. I don't think it necessarily had to go to that point.
Yeah, you're right. It wasn't really necessary.
Yeah, like that's like the future room scene.
It just made it awkward.
It almost felt like the art, like an R scene. I was like, oh no.
I mean, it's definitely pushing the line of what assault could be. You know, like But that's me being very nitpicky. I think the movie has a lot more strong points than it has weak points.
Yeah, I think that was just like, obviously there's a lot of points. There's a lot of interactions between Dean and Cindy where it's like you see like, oh, like, they clearly are not like
seeing spark, eye to that eye. That spark fucking faded away a long time ago, Betty.
Yeah.
It's like a original idea. Remember the fireworks at the end? She's like a little sparkler. It only lasts for so long before it's gone.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean,
original idea. That's from me.
And I didn't want to talk about the credit scenes after, but I think the credit scenes in this movie are like done so well because we get to see how they fell in love one more time through the fireworks. And it makes you sit with the movie like, oh, yeah, they were at some point in love and it ended up fading away.
I am, bro. Tough.
But, there's like, there's so many scenes where, like, obviously they're not seeing eye to eye. And then even like when Dean's trying to make love to Cindy, and it's like he wants to have like a sensual interaction with her, and she's just like, just do what you want with me. Like, I don't care. And then he's like, I can't do this. Like, I can't do this to you. And then I think he told her, like she told him to hit her. Or, like, he thinks that she wants him to hit her.
Yeah.
And like, he's like, bro, I can't do that to you, baby.
Yeah.
And then even then, it's like, I feel like it's such a, like, it's not to say that, like, he doesn't emotionally abuse her. Like, we know that he doesn't physically abuse her, but it's like, it's such an, abuser thing to be like, I can't do this to you, babe. Like, no, I just can't. But even though he's already trying to have sex with her, and she's already reacting to him like that. And it's like, I just can't. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It's just like,
trying to put her in a bad spot.
Yeah.
He's trying to make it like blame her for it again.
Not only that, at no point in the movie do I remember Cindy saying, punch me or anything along those lines. I think Dean just wants to punch her, like, straight up.
He hates her, bro.
Like, yeah, straight up. He's basically saying, by the actions that you're taking, you're making me want to punch you, but I'm not going to do that.
So I'm going to just say that I'm not punching you.
Yeah, just give me a couple more MDs, son.
Yeah, you know what I'm going to say?
Let me swing that one
coworker was right. He just needed to fuck some girls. And he
bro, honestly, God. That coworker.
That dude kept, that's Wayman.
If he would have just listened to him, he would have been A-okay.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have that kid.
He literally said it in the best words possible. I think you just need to get some pussy. Damn, if that shit's not relatable, I don't know what the fuck is, man.
All right, I'm going to ask a very controversial question right now. Okay. It might divide our listeners right now.
All
right.
Is it about
who of the two sexes is most romantic? And not, like, just in general, like, me and Beth are in relationships, so we're not talking from experience. Just in general, what do we think?
Go ahead.
Oh, you go first.
Brian's like, I'm not trying to get canceled.
Look,
let me put my thoughts together.
I don't think there's an actual answer to this question. I don't think either.
Ah, he's stepping on stone. Get him out of here.
I don't generally think there's a sex that's more romantic than the other one. I just think it's generally from person to person. But I think what this movie does showcase is what happens if both partners over romanticize the relationship from the beginning.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
And how that can ultimately lead to the relationship to fail. Because they both fail to realize the flaws of the other person because they got engaged in the idea of this relationship lasting forever way too early.
They were more in love with the idea of being and falling in love than they actually were with each other.
Yeah, and I think this is one of the things that the movie showcases really well is that the dissolution of over-romanticizing a relationship or a person. Because ultimately, the movie shows us that one of the reasons why they fell in love or the many reasons that they fell in love is ultimately what ends up breaking them up.
Damn.
What was the reason why?
Well,
Dean,
for the listener,
basically.
Yeah, Dean's free spirit, non-caring, over-romanticizing the relationship. Cindy's grounded, quote-unquote, looks on life. And
And she, and even like her having a bad experience with Bobby, you know, who's a dick, and he literally treats her like shit.
Yeah, her sense of responsibility, and ultimately her pushing that onto Dean, it just doesn't really. And I think that's one of the most heartbreaking parts of the movie, because we can see how little by little these things chip away to the relationship, and end up like having a very explosive ending.
It's almost like Dean was like, oh, don't worry, I won't ever bring up anything from our past that negatively affects us. But then he like brings it up subtly.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a dick throughout the whole movie. Yeah. And I think, you know, in the beginning of the movie, we talked about
the present time of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we do talk about how they started the movie by the present. I think it was a pretty smart idea to start the movie by losing the dog. I think we can watch the movie thinking of the dog as a metaphor for the relationship. We sense that Dean is looking for a dog that's lost and he can never find it. And then we actually see Cindy, who is not looking for the dog, finding the dog in the side of the street, and it's already dead. Kind of showing what the movie is going to go through. We see Dean looking and looking for something that he'll never find. It starts off with a
tragedy.
Yeah, he'll never find. That's their love for the relationship. Dean keeps looking and looking for the love, their passion, the relationship, when it's already dead. And then Cindy ends up finding it dead already, and Dean ends up blaming her for it.
And I think that that's kind of something that I kind of brought up earlier, where it's like, I feel like Dean is more in love with the idea of being with Cindy and like wanting to have a family with her than he actually does love her.
Yeah. And I think we see Dean continue to, he fails to see that there's some work to be done in this relationship, you know? He thinks by going to a hotel, by having another baby, that suddenly things will get fixed, when that is obviously not the case.
Yeah, dude, that seems pretty tough. I kind of like see the thing like for my opinion, I like to see that, you know, to answer your question, Milo, I think Dean was the most person that romanticizes in this relationship. But the guy, you know, he's a guilt tripper, you know, like he tries to like, you know, be the guy like, oh, I could fix her. I could like try to do these things. But it's like, dude, like you're only just setting more, you know, wood into the flames, you know.
It's almost like he chooses to not take responsibility for everything wrong in their life.
I was about to say that. And he took it, you son of a bitch.
I'm sorry. No, please elaborate. I don't know where I was going to go from there, but go ahead, Chris.
I mean, it's very apparent that Dean seems like he could do no wrong. Like use the example for the dog situation.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, I fucking told you to lock the gate. And then rather than be like, oh, like, you know, like,
not, it's all right.
Yeah, like, it's all right. It's okay. Like, we could do something. And then when they get back home, he sits down and he reminisces.
He starts crying.
Yeah. And then, like, it felt like alligator tears. Because even when I saw this thing, I was like,
yeah, like, bro, what?
That's such an abuser thing to do.
Not only that, we have to remember that in the beginning of the movie, my boy wakes up early to play with Frankie or whatever.
Like 5 a.m. or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he wakes up his wife to make breakfast instead of making breakfast himself, and then starts complaining about the breakfast itself.
It's like you didn't let the oatmeal soak.
Yeah, like, goddamn, dude. Like, you could have helped out a little bit there, my boy.
I think that's a good frame shot because, you know, we dive into a scene where Cindy, when she's having dinner with her mom and her dad, you know, the dad, this shit pissed me off. I fucking hated this part.
Yeah.
You know, this dad, like, I get it, dude. You fucking coming back from work. You're probably fucking tired. Yeah. But he ends up, like, you know, they're doing their prayers and shit. And then he abruptly gets fucking mad at the wife
he's like, I thought you were going to make something else. Or, like, this is what we're eating for dinner.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck is this?
And yeah, that, dude, like, what the fuck?
we do have to wonder, like, is this a window to see how the relationship would have ended if they hadn't gotten that divorced? Because that's one of Cindy's biggest fear, right? Ending up in a relationship how
her parents
her parents had.
Can I just say, too, like, there are absolutely no redeemable male characters in this movie.
I mean, the dad was pretty cool. I mean,
he was not cool.
No, not him. His dad. His dad was like, Dean, you leave her alone.
Ooh.
Dean's dad at the end.
That was her dad. Just older.
Yeah, oh, that was her dad?
That was her dad. Yeah. Oh, same dude. Yeah.
Never mind. I thought that was Dean's dad. Never mind. The whole time I was like, oh, damn, that's pretty chill.
What is it? No, he didn't know his mom. His dad was like a janitor or something. And then I guess he just didn't live with them or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think ultimately what I got from this movie too was like they were both chasing something they never had in their life, and then they were willing to take any opportunities that they had in front of them rather than like, you know, like trying to I see this in a lot of people who are like, who take any opportunity in front of them rather than like, you know, like.
So is it like Dean had no family and Cindy had a forced family?
It was like more like.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah, like it seems like Dean had a family, but it failed, and then he was like, "I want to be better than my parents were," and then obviously it's the same idea, different circumstance. It's like, and then Cindy is like, "My family stuck together.
They forced it."
Yeah, but like it never worked out, and then it was just ultimately like, I think at the end of the day, I mean, basically Dean ended up the way his parents did.
Yeah,
you know, like he became what his parents did, and then like. Cindy, I wouldn't say, I guess, I don't know. I think
Cindy is an example of someone who took the steps to not break the end cycle. Up. Yeah, like she ended up being like, okay, so, I can see where this is going. I'm not going to be in a marriage that has no love because I don't love this guy.
I think the fact that I like about Cindy is that she was being very cautious. And
I mean, she was apologizing things she shouldn't even have apologized.
Yeah.
Like the car scene when
she was like, she accepted the fact that Dean was blaming her for it. And she's like, all right, you know what? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like
just to try to make it work.
And then at the end, like, you know, she ended up telling him like, you know, or not the end, we're close to the end of the movie. It was like every time, like we can never have a civil conversation because every time I try to tell you something, you spin it on me.
Yeah. That's when they're in the hotel, the motel.
Yeah. The
Motel, just spits back.
Hotel, Hollywood, and I don't know.
Holiday Inn.
Holiday
Inn. No, but yeah, it's like, you can never talk about something. Like, she's just trying to ask him, like, what do you like? What do you want to do with your life? You don't want to do anything else? And he takes it personal. He's like, why do I have to do something that makes a lot of money? Like, I can't just be a dad and a father to Frankie, you know? And
yeah.
I just said dad and father back to back. I meant to husband and father. But
yeah, that was real dumb of you. Now the whole world is going to relate to that.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Why are you pausing, Milo?
I don't know. I want to see if someone else said something, but...
I don't know. You're the one that wrote the script.
Oh, but see,
I know Chris has lots of things.
Well, Roman, like, so who I think... I mean, I don't know. I obviously, Dean was. Like, Dean was, like, so infatuated by the idea of her and, like, not really knowing who she was, or not even knowing who he was or what he really wanted.
Is Dean a womanizer?
No.
Dean is a dumbanizer. That's what he
is. Yeah, dumbanizer?
Because he's dumb. No,
I mean, and bringing back to a little bit of over-romanticizing someone, you wrote here in the script that my boy Dean has the tattoo of the Giving Tree, right? And I think it's an interesting decision for him to have that tattoo because one can read that as Dean being the Giving Tree, where like he gives and gets nothing back, kind of like, you know, that metaphor for what a parent is, right? But I don't think that's the case. I think the Giving Tree is to symbolize how Dean sees himself. He not only over romanticizes the relationship, he over romanticizes who he is as a person. He believes himself to be a person that's giving, being very passionate and never asking for anything back. And ultimately that leads to him not realizing that he's being really fucking shitty in this relationship.
Yeah. And I think that sucks because it's like, we're, you know, we're looking at two perspectives here, and you know, and it feels is pretty good because we're thinking like, oh, you know, Dean's like, man, like, you know, he's really trying his best, but the more you start seeing into the movies, you're like, damn, dude,
it's like everything he's putting into it is like just being a good father, but it's not necessarily being like a good husband or being a good proprietor to the family. Yeah.
He's not a partner. He's just like, it looks like he's only in it for himself, if I'm being honest. He doesn't really seem to care about Cindy, which is one of Cindy's fears.
Yeah, it sucks because like Cindy, like, really wants to, like, she's trying to make it work out also, and like you don't really see the signals in it, and you know you're just kind of like seeing the point where she's like being difficult, but the more you realize and watch the movie to the end, it's like, fuck, dude, like, you know, like, you're not really like. Dean has gone to the point where, like,
I put an he example.
He used Frankie, I think, like, as ammo.
He did at the end.
I'll put an example, too. Like, he gets mad because her boss is, or the doctor's messaging her for work. And he's like, are you the one messaging her? Are you the one? And it's, like, through email. And, like, it's like.
Dude, that part was fucked, bro. That she was, like, when she said, I thought you wanted me just because I was good at my
job. The guy was like, at the beginning of the movie, the doctor was like, have you talked to your family about it, about moving up to where he's going? But then when he, at the end of the movie where he's kind of talking to her about it, he's like, you know what you could do? You can move into an apartment and just come back on the weekends. And then like, she was like, oh, like, she took it as like, he was like propositioning her to like be with him. So that way, because he was like, that's when Brian was going to say, she was like, oh, I thought you wanted me because I'm good at my job. And then she was like, and he was like, oh, like, he kind of backtracks because he realized like, okay, I kind of fucked up, I guess.
Yeah, because he also mentioned that he wanted to go out with dinner with her.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about that.
Yeah, at that time, he's like, we could go out to dinner. Yeah, like,
he was very clearly making a move on her, in my opinion.
And like, I hate the fact that Dean doesn't realize, like, it's like, dude, like, she could have like gone behind your back and not go on with this information. But the fact that she even decided to like, even like kind of be like, okay, like, that was fucking weird. Like, this guy made a fucking comment of like trying to think like this fucking weird fantasy that I'm gonna live two lives.
Yeah. You know,
and fucking, and just
fuck
like
that doctor, bro.
No, honestly, fuck that guy. He deserved to get fucking socked. But at the same time, what I hate is like Dean, like, use that to like make her look bad when in reality it's like, dude, like, you really came in here fucking hella aggro.
I don't think he also realized and appreciated how faithful and how like willing she was, willing to give a sacrifice a lot of things for him, like, or not sacrifice,
she sacrificed her career and her education,
like, but like a lot of things for him, you know, that goes to say, you know, I know a lot of people like that, but like, they feel like they could do no wrong, and I'm just like,
but wait, there's more.
And then you scratch your head, and you're just like, are you sure? Are you sure about that? But no, I mean, it's just like Dean, like, it seems like he tries to redeem himself a lot in this movie, but there's just like every time he's one step closer, he takes like five or ten step back, and it's like, bro, yeah. Like, come on.
You had every time to fix that, but you really fucked it up.
And I think like I saw an article. I was looking at articles, and there was an article where it's like there's two different perspectives. It's kind of like this movie would have ended if Cindy just got the abortion, and it's also like the transverse side of that is that Dean is doing the best that he can, and he's not getting appreciated for it.
Yeah.
But, like, true. You know, you kind of look at it, and it's like, I just lost my fucking train of thought. Fuck.
Well, to fill in that spot, I don't really think the abortion would have helped at all. You know, it looked like Cindy was really in an uncomfortable state to, like, whether she wanted the abortion to be done or not. And I think I'm glad that she kind of didn't. You know,
that was a very uncomfortable scene also.
Not aside that abortion is not a bad thing.
We're pro-choice here, by the way.
We're pro-choice. Women, do your thing. Fuck those fucking guys. Anyways,
fuck? Or no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, whoa, whoa, whoa. I think, you know, like I've been saying, Frankie was the fucking glue. But I think what sucked is that instead of Dean, use that as ammo.
Yeah.
Okay, so you know, obviously, so like they have troubles, and like the one thing that's very interesting about this movie is that yes, you do see parallels of like when they first fell in love up until their present, but you never see anything in between. So we don't know how it kind of all led up
it's
to this.
Shaped.
It's yeah. You just kind of have to fill in the picture. But it's very interesting that, like in the article that I was reading, it's like the last chance that Dean thinks that he has to do is like, you know, we're gonna go to a motel, we're gonna get drunk, and we're gonna have sex, and everything's gonna be okay. You know, we'll, yeah. That's basically like
Jesus fucking Christ. That is a, you know, I mean, I don't think that was a wise choice, bro. You could have just taken it to dinner, like, I mean, do something more nice. Like, yeah, let me take you to a fucking sex hotel and fuck you.
Like, let me get whiskey dick and try to fuck you.
Like, to be fair, he kind of did force her into this trip, because she often says that Cindy often says that she's not able to go to this motel because she has work, you know, and ended up being forced to go in this trip that quote unquote could save their relationship. And ultimately, Dean's failure to be able to realize that is what ended up in the relationship ending.
Yeah. And you know, that scene, like, it just kind of like it shows all the errors, you know, like, you know, they're in this hotel. She's obviously not wanting to do any of that. I think she really just wants to like bond and really just connect and just be like, dude, like, are we going to fix this, or we're like, yeah, really just going to like we're at a standstill. And again, we're seeing Dean being the affectionate person and trying to, like, you know, like make the spark, but it's like, dude, like, you're not listening to her.
Yeah. there's like deeper issues here than just like a hotel and another baby can fix.
Yeah, it's not like a, yeah, let's just forget everything, just drink and then just fuck and that's it. It's like, dude, I don't think that's how it works, bro.
Dean was always in the right. You guys are wrong.
You know what? Maybe we just need to start drinking. And fucking, you know, just start like gaslighting our partner, gaslight our partner, and then like, fuck, that's it. Winner.
It's crazy because like she made a point too when they're in a hotel. It's like he really did have a lot of opportunities. He really did have a lot of like good like quality features that he could have like been a very good like husband, very good person, you know, could have made a lot of money. And I think it goes to show when he said it's showing like his like, what's that saying, like your shortfalls, your what is it, like your not your short, what is it, his shortcomings, where like he settled down. And I feel like her as a partner just asking what are your ambitions, it wasn't to like say like, yes, you can still be a good loving father and husband. I was about to do the same thing as fucking Milo right now. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you get so ambitious to, like, you know, just to provide a little bit more for your family. And the thing is, he had qualities to save him. He just chose to, like, no, fuck that. I got what I want, and this is all I need. And if you have a question about what I need, fuck you. Like, why are you trying to make me look, like, bad? Which it was, like, not, and she wasn't asking him to, like, oh, hey, like, don't you want to do anything else? Like, you know, like, obviously, like, you know, she wants you to do well, too. And that's a supporting partner. It shows that she was trying to be supportive, want to know more. So that way she could help him in his endeavors rather than be like, oh, you know, like, why are you telling me this? I'm already doing enough for us. Like, you know, like it gets the fucking bills paid or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Not only that, I think it also shows one of the issues that happen when you over-romanticize a relationship. This is one of the things that you have a conversation about with a person that you first start, when you first start dating them, right? Like, she's basically asking us, like, hey, do you have any other ambitions? And my boy Dean said, no, I don't. I'm happy with this. I don't really want to do anything else. And if this was earlier in the relationship, Cindy could have just been like, well, this person is not really for me. But because they ended up getting committed so early into their relationship is not something that they could have walked away from. And it's what ended up having that very explosive ending at Cindy's job.
Can I just say, too, that's like, besides the motel scene, that doctor scene, it's like, the way that it's presented to us, it's like even before they get into the argument, her coworker's like, don't let him manipulate you.
Yeah. Brain, dude, okay, so I honestly, when I saw that piece, and I'm glad you said this because I'm not the only one, I was like, fuck that coworker. But then the more that I'm looking back into it, I was like, bro, she's real as fuck. She probably like got all the information and like heard.
She has all the tea, bro.
Yeah, she had all the tea and like realized like, you know what? Dean is fucking brainwashing her and you need to like stand up. And that was more than the perfect spot to like, I think that's what she needed. You know, she needed someone to like tell her like, dude, stand your guard and say what you feel. Because yeah. She's been holding it in for too long.
And I do think that's very interesting use of language and using brainwashing, you know? Dude,
I know.
Yeah. Because I think Dean doesn't really think that he's brainwashing Cindy.
And the fact that he even says like brainwash, I was like, bro, you are, man.
Like what Dean thinks is that he is like trying to bring back the spark in the relationship. But what he's actually doing is brainwashing her. It's like trying to get her to stay in a relationship that's already dead, but through going to a motel, having drunk sex, having another baby, he's kind of like selling her in this idea of a relationship that is no longer going to work.
Manipulating her.
He is manipulating her. But in his eyes, he is...
he's fighting for her.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in a way, he is kind of brainwashed himself, too. I will say, Dean ultimately still is a shitty guy, even though he doesn't think he's manipulating her. Because at the end of the day, that's what he's doing. And I think this is what the movie is about, ultimately. How romanticizing a person,
how they see the relationship
or the relationship
and to believing that that's it for them,
how manipulator manipulates love,
yeah, ends up getting you stuck in a relationship that it's not gonna work. How about you
manipulate these nuts?
And I think the sad part is that what we don't see in the movie, we don't see like the 5-6 years that they've been doing this for.
And it's like you kind of look at it like Cindy, you know, in these last 5 to 6 years, yes, maybe Dean has been there raising Frankie, but she's been working her ass off, working these long hours. You know, she gave up her career trying to become a doctor to become, I think,
a nurse.
She's a radiographer. She does like the X-rays.
Yeah, she wanted to be a doctor, and then just for Google Frankie.
I think that scene too, and when they're in the doctor and the coworker's like, don't let him brainwash you. Don't. I think, and I don't say this from experience, but the worst thing you could do is like, whether it's bad or good, and this is advice for anyone, don't talk about your relationship to other people like that, especially your coworkers. Like, just don't do it. Like, if you're going to go through something, unless it's like really serious, you know, just don't tell anyone about it. It's like, that's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything else to say? Because I wanted to bring up the whole theory of love that I kind of talked about. So when it comes to the triangular theory of love, obviously, I'm a psych major, so I'm going to bring up some psych shit about it.
That's right. My boy graduated.
I'm about to, actually. We'll talk about that later. But I want to talk about Robert Sternberg's triangular theory of love. So when it comes to love, according to his theory, there's three components. There's liking, which is considered intimacy, which is feelings of closeness, connectedness, and bondedness in loving relationships. Commitment, which is, in the short term, the decision that one loves someone else, and in the long term, the commitment to maintain that love. And passion, which is the drive that leads to romance, physical attraction, sexual consummation, and related phenomena in loving relationships. And I just kind of wanted to see what you guys thought that, what kind of love do you guys think Dean and Cindy had?
Yeah, so just to
he
build
was
up,
down in the center.
So just to clarify, based on this theory, you need all three of these components to have a functional love.
Absolutely, yes. Yes. Which is consummate love.
Yeah, down in the center, like I said.
You think that they have consummate love?
Cindy was fucking... No, Cindy was the issue, bro.
Yeah, and I... Shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
And I do think this movie shows a perfect example of a relationship that only has commitment, at least toward the end. Maybe they did have a little bit of passion and liking in the beginning, but... toward the end of the relationship, we can realize that the only thing this relationship has is commitment, because they're committed to a relationship that is very much not working.
Which it makes sense that if you only have commitment in a relationship, it's called empty love, which I think it's like the best description of what they have. You know, there's maybe they had passion earlier on, maybe they try to have intimacy on earlier on, but at the end of it, it's just. Dean is committed because he's like, let's start a family. Yeah. And Cindy was like, okay, because you're going to be there, I'll say yes. Compared to that douchebag Bobby, where he was like, what did he say? He says some fucked up shit. I think I mentioned it earlier. Bobby was like, there's a flashback where Cindy's in a wheelchair and like Bobby's trying to come on to her. And he's like, come on, you know you want it. Like, yeesh. Bro.
He's a dog.
It's kind of crazy because it's like
trying to do it on a handicapped person. Okay,
if we have to compare it, it's like Bobby's like in terms of being a dig is like up here, and Dean's maybe like right here. Like, and it's only because he stepped up. So you know, I just kind of reached the end. Do you guys have any final thoughts? Something we haven't said?
I just think. That you still a bitch.
Who?
No, I mean, I think.
Who? I asked Brian for evidence. He was like, "Yeah, I'm not gonna say that."
I mean, to give my final thoughts on this movie, I think overall this movie was really great to give the perspective of just, you know, relationships are not perfect, and you know, if you're trying to make it perfect, like. You're going to have to stop yourself right there because you're only going to make it worse for both of you.
I mean, never mind. I'll put on top. I have something else to say. We'll go.
I think this movie does a really good job at like showing what happens when you over romanticize someone, either yourself, your partner, or even the relationship itself. And the failure to realize that, you are contributing to the failure of a relationship. I think it's a really good movie. I think it's a good watch. And I do think, you know, it is a good movie to choose right before Valentine's Day.
Being complicit makes you an aggressor.
Mm-hmm.
So if like the way Dean's not trying to do anything and think that he thinks he's not in the wrong, that was his first mistake.
Yeah.
So I think this is an interesting movie to watch, maybe like a two periods in your life. But the way that I saw it the first time, it's like, I think that this is a movie you should only watch one time and it should be in a neutral period in your life. Don't watch it if you've just recently broken up with someone, and don't watch it when you're in a relationship. And it's not to say that I haven't experienced both in both. I just watched this at a neutral period in my life, and thinking about it in hindsight, I was just like, This is something that I could only watch one time, and I think people should, like, even in the article that I read, it's like, this is a movie you should only watch one time. But go ahead, Chris. You have a lot to say.
I don't. No, I'm playing. I'm playing.
That's the end of the podcast.
I think this is what are those movies called? It's supposed to be like one of those tales. How you say it? It's a
cautionary.
A cautionary tale for those guys who think that they're not in the wrong, for those guys that think that they're doing the very best, for those guys who think...
Think twice, buddy.
Oh, yeah. So Chris, it's only us in the wrong? Is that what you're trying to say?
For those guys who think that, like, you know, it's her fault.
The gaslighters?
Take two step back and then just think about your actions. Think about what you're doing wrong.
Hold on. Was Bethel just double zinning right now?
Triple.
Triple?
I think
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I think this is a very good movie too. For I feel hope someone could watch this and realize, damn, I'm that guy. Damn, I'm doing all these things wrong. And you know, going back to say like, oh, there's not a relationship you can fix. If it's like, I think it's like maybe I should take a step back and maybe I should change. You know, whether it's after the relationship or during the relationship, just don't be Dean. You don't want
to be that guy.
Because you will go bald and you will wear glasses aviator and then you will blame everything on your wife or girlfriend. Yes.
One last thing. I understand. Okay, so here's the thing, actually. I think we might have talked about it earlier. Because Cindy was still in high school, and so 6 years later, so we can assume they're in their 20s. Now, I understand male...
Oh, yeah, that bothers me, by
the way. I understand that male pattern baldness is a thing.
It bothers me.
But why... If we are to assume that Dean is an alcoholic, why does he not have a beer belly?
And why the fuck did he go bald if he's in 20s?
Why is he so, buddy?
As a balding 20-year-old dog.
No, Chris.
No.
That comment was made to attack Beth already.
No, it wasn't. That shit was no. Okay, look at because like.
But
no,
what? No,
no my bald.
My biggest. My biggest concern is why. He didn't have a beer belly if he's an alcoholic or he's been an alcoholic for the last 5. He still has like a 6-pack, bro. That was my biggest concern of the movie.
He works out every day.
He probably works out. You know, he's probably that guy.
He works up lifting the Budweiser cans guy. Or what?
He's that guy, dude. He's that guy. Like Brian said.
You're not that guy, Chris.
He is that guy.
You're not that guy.
You wish you were that guy.
You don't know is gaslighting your wife is a full body workout.
God damn.
It's the most nutritious thing you could do. But as we reach an end, next time you guys hear from us, we're going to talk about Beto's movie, which is...
The 2023 movie, Past Lives.
Oh, woo! Another... Beto and his... He's on an A24 run, bro.
All I'm saying, bro, when they miss, I'll stop choosing them. But they
A24, hit us up, baby.
So why didn't you pick The Green Knight?
The Green Knight is a good movie, but I think keeping it in the...
We're talking about recency. That's what I love about Beto, bro.
That's the only reason why you love him?
No, I love him for a lot of reasons. But the last few times...
Yeah, Beto, that's why I could be a dean.
Beto keeps him up to date.
I could you.
With the A24 movies, bro. Yeah. Everything, Everywhere, Talk
what?
To Me.
So what? I don't. What am I doing wrong?
I said A24.
Forget it, Milo. You're right. My bad, Milo. No, you're right. My bad.
It's
my
okay.
Bad, dude.
You say that now, but later, I'm gonna blow your back out. But signing off. But yeah, no. Yes, Beto, Past Lives.
Yeah, I just want to keep it in theme with the Valentine's Day, and I think this is a movie that is similar in theme with Blue Valentine, from what I've heard, and it's a movie I've been wanting to watch for a long time.
So we have to watch it.
Wait, you haven't seen it yet?
I have not.
So
seen
we
it
had
yet.
To watch oh, it in theater.
No, it's out.
It came out last year.
Oh, so guys, you already know what we which said. Is, we're all I, watching the movie in theaters. If,
which is, I think it's a it's
2023. We're in 2024.
No, I'm just saying though.
It's an Academy Award winner
yes.
Or nominee.
Nominee, yes.
Which I just want to throw it out there. Oppenheimer, 13
hey, baby.
Academy Award nominations.
That's it. I could have done more.
Yeah, all right,
it's like the second in history amount, but just to sign off, we're gonna second talk about past history. Lives next time. My name is Emilio.
Your boy Brian.
This is Beto,
and I'm Cindy,
and we're cutting out.
Thank you guys for listening.